India will accept people from all faiths except Islam. This is creating inequality. The government is damaging the country's basic structure.
A diversity of India's residents protest a new law. It's Monday, December 23rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Follow us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, North Korea is listening to VOA and not happy about it. Bushfires ignite political heat. Impeachment explained. Impeachment fallout and dark waters. At the movies, that is. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Among the protesters rallying in India against a controversial new citizenship law that critics call anti-Muslim are thousands of female students and conservative Muslim women who seldom appear in public places. The law has excluded Muslims from six religious groups who will get expedited citizenship if they fled persecution in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. At a university in the Indian capital, which has been at the forefront of protests, Anjana Pasricha talks to women to find out why they've emerged on the streets.
Fauzia is among the sea of student protesters in New Delhi, demanding that the government scrap a new law that introduces religion as a criterion for citizenship for persecuted minorities from neighboring countries.
India will accept people from all faiths except Islam. This is creating inequality. The government is damaging the country's basic structure.
Some of the women chanting freedom outside Jamia Millia Islamia University don't reveal their faces or names. Housewives, mothers, young and old have joined the students. It is unusual. Muslims have almost never spearheaded protests in India, and most Muslim women stay away from public places. Now, their numbers keep rising amid fears that the new law will relegate Muslims to second-class citizens. The government has defended the law as a compassionate measure, but its efforts to quell the protests have added to the fury. Rabia Sun was among those who got injured last week when police entered the university library.
Those of us who wear these clothes seldom come out of our homes, but the situation has gotten out of hand. That is why I'm out. Till they don't scrap the bill, I will be out protesting.
Protesters are also demanding that Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Hindu nationalist government cancel plans to roll out a citizens' register that will require all Indians to submit proof of their nationality. The government's assurances that Indian Muslims will not lose their citizenship has failed to calm fears that their exclusion from the new law makes them vulnerable.
Yeah, why do we have to prove our citizenship? First of all, our forefathers have fought for this nation.
The protesters have been joined by many non-Muslims who fear the law damages India's tradition of a pluralistic society.
Yeah, I'm a Hindu, but this bill is affecting me because my fellow citizens and my fellow students are being affected by this. In my entire one and a half years in my Jamia, I've been with my Muslim friends. I've shared my lunch with them. I've went to their home in Eid and I've celebrated their festivals.
It remains to be seen whether these protests continue, but they underline growing fears among Muslims and Modi's critics that his government is pressing ahead with the Hindu nationalist agenda. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. NATO leaders turn attention to rising China challenge. Afghanistan's Ghani wins majority in bitterly contested polls. Modi defends India citizenship law as protests continue. A diplomat says U.S. must engage to seek change from North Korea. Hong Kong protesters face off with police in mall protests. Read and watch much more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. North Korea lashed out Saturday at the U.S. State Department's recent criticism of its human rights record, warning Washington would pay dearly for what it called reckless remarks. The comments come amid tensions over North Korea's end-of-year deadline for nuclear talks, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korea specifically took issue with a recent VOA interview of a senior State Department official who said the U.S. remains deeply concerned about North Korean human rights abuses. In a statement via state media, North Korea's foreign ministry said those comments were like pouring oil over a burning fire. The controversy comes at a particularly tense moment. North Korea has threatened to walk away from nuclear talks and has promised the U.S. an ominous Christmas gift. That gift could be a long-range missile launch or other provocation. The U.S. is also gradually increasing pressure. On Friday, the State Department renewed its designation of North Korea as a violator of religious freedom. U.S. President Donald Trump also signed legislation tightening sanctions on North Korea. The U.S. has been accused of sending mixed messages on North Korean human rights issues. Earlier this month, the Trump administration prevented a United Nations Security Council meeting on North Korean human rights abuses, effectively blocking the meeting for the second consecutive year. Reports suggested the move was meant to preserve the chances for diplomacy. Human Rights Watch said the decision sent a clear message to North Korea and other abusive governments that the U.S. is prepared to look away regarding rights violations. However, by signing the sanctions legislation Friday, Trump is applying major additional pressure. The legislation calls for mandatory sanctions on North Korean imports and exports of textiles, coal, and other natural resources. It also calls for sanctions on banks that deal with North Korea. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia News, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo denounced Russia and China after the two countries vetoed a U.N. Security Council resolution on allowing cross-border humanitarian aid to Syria. Pompeo said the political statement opposing the resolution leaves Russia and China with blood on their hands. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on a brand new week at VOA Asia. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has apologized for going on vacation while the country struggled with a worsening bushfire crisis. Since September, the emergency has killed at least 10, destroyed more than 700 homes, and scorched millions of hectares. Morrison is back in Australia now, where his leadership is under scrutiny. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
I'm now directing a move off this temporarily closed roadway so that we can reopen the road. I warn you that should you fail to comply with my direction, you may be arrested. Force may be used. Do you understand, Izzy? You need to leave now. Are you going to leave for me?
13-year-old Izzy Raj Seppings was told she could be arrested outside Morrison's official residence in Sydney. With her father, the Australian schoolgirl had joined hundreds of protesters demanding that Morrison take the threat of global warming more seriously. They argue that a drier, warmer climate is increasing Australia's vulnerability to bushfires. As the fires raged across the country, Morrison was on vacation in the United States. He was criticised for leaving the country during a crisis. He's apologised, but is defending his government's climate policies.
Look, I think Australians are fair-minded about this. They know at the end of a difficult year, people go on leave, and they know when Dad makes a promise to their kids, they like to keep it. But nevertheless, I understand the anxiety and why people have been upset by this, and that's why I'm pleased to be back and to front up. I said we will meet our 26% emissions reduction target. Emissions per year today under our government are on average 50 million tonnes a year less than they were under the previous government.
Morrison has visited the Rural Fire Service headquarters in Sydney and was briefed about the emergency in New South Wales, where more than 100 fires burn. Conditions Sunday have eased, allowing fire crews to prepare for more dangerous days in the weeks ahead. Bushfires have always been part of the Australian story. But this fire season has not only started earlier than usual, it is far more intense. The authorities say some of the fires will only be extinguished by heavy rain. However, weather officials say no major rainfall is expected in the next 2 months. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Coming up, you've heard a lot about it. We explain impeachment. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. President Donald Trump on Saturday said the United States and China would very shortly sign their so-called Phase One trade pact. The Phase One deal was announced earlier this month as part of a bid to end the months-long tit-for-tat trade war between the world's two largest economies. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, 2019 will be remembered as the year the U.S. House of Representatives impeached a president of the United States for just the third time in U.S. history. While it's highly unlikely the Republican-majority U.S. Senate will remove Donald Trump from office in 2020, lawmakers' battles over impeachment exposed deep partisan divides that are changing the political discussion in the United States. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports on this year's political stalemate.
The most serious vote a Speaker of the House can announce. A vote only two U.S. presidents had faced before Donald Trump.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival.
But the facts of Trump's July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that launched 3 months of investigation by the House and 80 hours of public testimony.
We followed the president's orders.
Were fiercely debated, ultimately spawning charges against Trump in the form of articles of impeachment, alleging he abused the power of his office and obstructed Congress's efforts to investigate him.
Our nation is founded on the principle that we do not have kings, we have presidents, and the Constitution is our compass. When you see something that is not right, not just, not fair, you have a moral obligation to say something, to do something.
Democrats argued Trump compromised American democracy by inviting foreign interference into the 2020 presidential election.
When the president sacrifices our interests, our national security, for his election, he is sacrificing our country for his personal gain. What is at risk here is the very idea of America. That idea holds that we are a nation of laws, not of men.
The White House released a summary of Trump's July 25th phone call in late September following a whistleblower's complaint about the president's conduct, fueling widely differing interpretations by the White House and Democrats.
I have to put up with Adam Schiff on an absolutely perfect phone call to the new president of Ukraine. That was a perfect call.
Republicans also protested the way Democrats handled the investigation.
We're going in.
Staying united in their defense of the president, arguing Democrats were trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election.
They hate the 63 million Americans who voted for this president.
The intense rhetoric.
I am deeply concerned that any member of the House would spout Russian propaganda.
Marking a troubling turning point in the tone and substance of the nation's political debate.
We are in a state of heightened partisan polarization, and there's no question that the polarization affects what's going on now with impeachment. In a way, in fact, that I think we didn't see in previous impeachments, not with Clinton impeachment, not with Nixon impeachment.
In the end, the debate changed few minds on Capitol Hill or as public opinion polling showed, in the rest of the country. The final vote on impeachment fell almost entirely along party lines, setting the stage for a fierce battle early next year over Trump's trial in the U.S. Senate. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
This news break from VOA Asia. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un held a meeting of top military officials to discuss boosting the country's military capability. That, according to state news agency on Sunday, amid heightened concern the North may be about to return to confrontation with Washington. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, continuing with impeachment, while President Trump is expected to be acquitted in the Republican-controlled Senate, the political fallout from the impeachment drama will be a factor in the 2020 presidential election. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
Please welcome the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump!
In times of trouble, President Trump can always count on the warm embrace of his political base. Even as the House voted to impeach him, Trump lashed out at Democrats at a rally in Michigan.
You are the ones interfering in America's elections. You are the ones subverting America's democracy. We did nothing wrong, nothing whatsoever. This was just an excuse.
Article 1 is adopted.
House Democrats said they impeached Trump because they could not ignore the president's attempts to enlist Ukraine's help in his re-election bid in 2020. Maryland Congressman Steny Hoyer.
This impeachment asks whether we are still a republic of laws, as our founders intended, or whether we will accept that one person can be above the law.
The president's chances of surviving impeachment are much brighter in the Senate, where Republicans are poised to acquit him in a trial, including Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
This particular House of Representatives has let its partisan rage at this particular president create a toxic new precedent that will echo well into the future.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer said his party will press the case.
I have little doubt that if we tell the president that he can escape scrutiny in this instance, he will do it again and again and again.
Democrats and Republicans expect impeachment to be a factor in next year's presidential election, says Julie Pace.
It's just a huge unknown. Both parties think that this could play to their favor, and privately both parties think it could work against them. But we just haven't been in this situation before where you have an impeachment and then that impeached president running for re-election.
The impeachment saga has consumed Washington in recent months. But voters have short memories, warns University of Virginia expert Larry Sabato.
This is going to be much less significant by next November than people think. It's going to seem like an eon past. And that means other controversies, other issues, the two candidates, Democrat and Republican, will dominate the election, not impeachment.
Public opinion polls show the country remains sharply divided on impeachment. And the lengthy process in the House did little to alter that dynamic, says analyst Capri Cafaro.
But I think what's happened with impeachment is that it really hasn't had any significant impact in changing minds. I think it has solidified the camp.
The Senate will take up the issue of Trump's fitness for office in January. But the ultimate verdict is expected to be rendered by U.S. voters in the election next November. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
The legal thriller Dark Waters by filmmaker Todd Haynes follows corporate defense attorney Rob Billett as he investigates over a 20-year period the causes of widespread illness and death of cattle and people in a farm community of West Virginia. In the movie, health problems emerge after the chemical company DuPont dumps toxic chemicals into local waters. It's based on a true story. The film aims to entertain, but also to increase awareness about how hazardous chemicals pose a threat to public health in America and the world over. VOA's Penelope Palou has more.
How many did you lose?
190.
190 cows.
You tell me nothing's wrong here.
After some hesitation, Cincinnati corporate attorney Rob Bilott, played by Mark Ruffalo, agrees to investigate farmer Wilbur Tennant's claims that DuPont's chemical waste into a creek next to his land is killing his cattle. Bilott, who was originally hired by his law firm to defend corporations like DuPont, turns against the corporate giant.
What is this, PFOA? What's that stand for?
Jesus, you're on a goddamn fishing expedition.
Bill, I need to insist on broadening discovery.
Sue me!
I'm already suing you.
Bilott established that PFOAS, or man-made chemicals, caused elevated risks of cancer, kidney disease, thyroid conditions, and autoimmune disorders. He gathered evidence through depositions from plant employees, public records, and an epidemiological study in Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Has anyone even read the evidence this man has collected? The willful negligence, the corruption? Read it. We should want to nail DuPont. All of us should. American business is better than this, gentlemen.
Tim Robbins plays Tom Terp, chairman and managing partner of Bilott's legal team, Taft.
Corporate culture tends to protect itself. And Tom was someone that dared to go against that.
A 2016 article by the New York Times called Bilott the lawyer who became DuPont's worst nightmare. His research brought worldwide awareness into the dangers of chemicals like PFOAS. They had known for a long time that this stuff was bad, says Bilott.
In 2017, we were able to enter into a settlement with DuPont for about 3,500 people who had claims at that point in time. There are additional people that are still finding out that they are being that they've been exposed and that they have cancer. There are additional cases that are popping up all over the country. We shouldn't all be being used as guinea pigs.
Mark Ruffalo interprets Bilott and produced the film Dark Waters. He is also an environmental activist advocating for the regulation of forever chemicals, as PFOAS and PFAS have been nicknamed.
I think 3M and DuPont are going to have to, they're going to have to take some responsibility for what they did. They knowingly brought this product onto the market, knowing that it caused cancers, birth defects, endocrine diseases, and they went ahead anyway.
Almost heaven, West Virginia.
Dark Waters is not the first film to focus on waters polluted by PFAS.
Governor Snyder, I got some Flint water for you.
In his documentary Fahrenheit 11/9, filmmaker Michael Moore casts a light on policies he says led to contaminated waters in communities such as Flint, Michigan.
I feel like storytelling is a way to transcend the politics and get people to be reconsider an issue based on human to human contact.
Meanwhile, the fight of Rob Bilott against DuPont continues. While DuPont has not assumed responsibility for knowingly using hazardous chemicals, it has announced that it is eliminating the use of PFAS, chemicals which experts say are persistent in the environment and in the human body. Penelope Palou, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Of course, you'll find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and our website at voanews.com. But you know, you can also see us, yes, on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter as well. And hear us on the radio, like Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Hello and welcome to everyone listening there today. We're glad to have you with us. Please come back again. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.